This is Monday, June 2nd, and the topic this month is refuse.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As usual, it's wonderful to see so many gods and goddesses out and about. And I hope that is finally sinking into you that you truly are a god or a goddess. That this thing called God or the universe is working in, as, and through you. And you have the same creativity, the same attributes as this thing that we call God. Those attributes are in you intrinsically. So you can use your creativity, you can use your imagination, you can use your thinking to bring into your life what you want to bring into your life, so that you can make your life what you want it, without all what I call the nits and fleas of life. We do not need the nits and fleas of life. So use your mind correctly and your life will change. Now, with that said, I just want to make a few comments. We knew that it was Memorial Day, and I think it was a wonderful thing to have Memorial Day. I just wish that we didn't have Memorial Day. I wish we'd have never had it to begin with. I don't know if you are aware. When I see what they have done to Memorial Day, they've made it into a mattress sale. You know, go out and get a mattress on Memorial Day. And they never bother, very few people bother about the veterans. About the Second World War. A horrible thing. I was born in 1943. Rose and the rest of you probably lived through the war. But I think there are very few people that realize that during World War II, 27 million military people died. 27 million. But that's a lot. But here's the kicker. 54 million civilians died in World War II. 54 million. No one seems to know that or ever bring that up. That's an awful lot of people. We have to get over this thing called war and this aggression on all this stuff. And you can get rid of that by changing your mind. We have wars because there's war going on inside of us. If we were absolute peaceful human beings and we had control of our thinking and our mind and our consciousness, we would not have these conflicts. We would not have this war where all these people can die. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that we could have lost all those people. And that, fortunately, we're still here and all that. But I'm reminded of Albert Einstein. He said, you cannot be praying for peace at the same time that you're making weapons for war. And see, we just keep making weapons for war. I told you that when I go to Washington, there's a college there called the War College. The War College, they teach war at a college. It's mind-boggling to me. Absolutely mind-boggling. And so many people, if you talk to them, and when I say to people about wars, they say, oh, well, we have to have wars. We've always had to have war, and so forth. My mother used to say, well, we need a war to help the economy. She would say that we need a war to help the economy. How absolutely dumb, you know. And people think this. That was Teddy Roosevelt who brought that into the consciousness. He said, what we need now is a splendid little war. It'll take care of the economy, we'll take care of all this stuff, but we have a war. They've made war into an industry, and they've made it into an economy. So don't do that, and let's hope that someday we'll still remember Memorial Day, but we won't remember it in the same way. That we will advance as human beings past this thing that we think we have to go out because we're disagree with somebody, we have to go out and kill them, you see. You know. And killing somebody, you know, because their ideas are different than yours, you don't kill the idea, you know. The idea remains and the idea continues. You can't kill the idea. The only way you can do that is by changing your mind, by giving up, and by refusing to think like the rest of the world. Refuse to do that. And then we'll eventually get over this idea of wars in the military and all this kind of stuff. We have more wars going on. So many people hear it and so forth, but they do not realize that the war in Afghanistan, we don't hear very much about it every once in a while. It is killing more people. When they get done with the war in Afghanistan, it will have killed more people than the Vietnam War. I mean, it's insanity. And we have to get off that insane path that we're on. This thing that human beings are aggressive like this, it's not, you see. It has to change. So now I'll tell you another cute story about Memorial Day and war and so forth. Years ago, there was a lady, and I don't remember her name, stood up at a conference at Religious Science during the Second World War. And she started her treatment with, "There is no war in the mind of God. There is no war in the mind of God." Of course, I think they booed her down and made her go out the door, because people looked at that reality. Well, my God, how can she say that? There's a war going on around us. But there is no war in the mind of God. This thing called God or this thing called the universe is never against itself and never against anybody else. And it doesn't have chosen people. You say, it doesn't, you're better than, that race is better than this race. And all. No, we've got to get over this. So I hope that you've all had a wonderful Memorial Day. And let's know that someday it'll be an ancient thing to know that we won't have these conflicts in this war. And all conflicts, all war, anything that's going on is going on in your mind. It is not going on in the mind of God. When we decide to go to war, it's because of politicians. And it's because of their thinking. And we join in that mass mind. And many people get hypnotized by it. And that's what happened in Germany. Those people were completely hypnotized. And that one, they all agreed with that. You cannot agree. That's why learn to refuse any of those thoughts when they come into your mind. Just say no to it. Refuse to think those thoughts. It's as easy as that, people. We think that some great big thing has to go on. Everything that has ever happened on this planet happened because of one person changing their mind. One person. So if here we can all come to some kind of a peaceful solution in our own mind, that we don't have to have wars and so forth, think of the value that we have. Scott just came in. I was telling them most people do not know that during World War II, 27 million military people died around the world, all the different countries. but 54 million civilians died. Now, what does that mean to our world and our society? Some of those people may have had the solution to disease. They may have had wonderful ideas in their mind, you see? And we lost out on all of that. So we cannot do this for ourselves. We are all here. And this thing called God, I've said this to you before, would be incomplete without each and every one of us. So we cannot go around doing this type of stuff anymore. We have so much technology, so much stuff going on now, so many brilliant minds out there. But they refuse to give up the idea of war. Why? Because they look back to the past and they say, it always happened. Therefore, it will always happen. You cannot have a mind like that, people. Just because it happened back here does not mean that it's going to happen in the future. You have to refuse to think those thoughts. And you have to say, the future is going to be better. The future is going to be complete peace. Now, this wonderful planet that we live on, this jewel of a planet, the most magnificent. I haven't been to any other planets, by the way, but I happen to love this planet. I think we have so many wonderful things here. But with the money that we spend on the military and all this fighting and all these wars, if we use that, could you imagine what this world would be? How beautiful it would be? Can you imagine that all the rivers in the world would be cleaned up and beautiful and pristine one more time? That we could make this whole planet pristine with the money that we waste killing people. You see? We've got to change that. And each and every one of us has to decide to do that and refuse. Refuse to give the government tax money if they're going to use it for war. If they're not going to clean up this planet, what are we going to leave for the next generation and all? There's no place else for us to go. I don't know where people think they're going to go. If we destroy this whole planet, where do you think you're going to go? You know? You think there's a ticket to Mars or something waiting for you? No, you're here. You're always going to be here. And we make this planet what it is. We make this world what it is by using our thinking, by using our consciousness. So, if we want to clean up the world and we want to see the world and pristine one more time, then our thinking must be cleaned up and our thinking must become pristine. So, refuse to listen to all these naysayers and the doom and gloom people that are out there. Just refuse it. Do not let it come into your mind. Do not let it come into your mind. Which now brings up the next thing that over the week, I'm sure you all heard, Maya Angelou died. A wonderful person who left a legacy behind her. And I told you the story about Maya before. If anyone was in her home and they became negative, she would ask them to leave. You may not be negative in my home because it'll get into the walls. You see, negativity does that, people. Everything has an energy about it. Everything has an energy about it. My friend Joyce Reynolds, the lady that I tell you about, who's the motivator of one or a thousand, she used to teach a class on energy. And I'm trying to think exactly what she called that. But everything, your jewelry, your clothes, everything holds an energy. holds your consciousness, you see. So you have to be careful with all that too. The whole thing we're always talking about in this class, people, is your consciousness. We call it mind sometimes, but it's your consciousness. And that's what you want to clear up. That's what you want to invest all your time and effort in. And you can only do that by refusing all this stuff that the world is spouting at you all the time. I tell you that the world is very convincing, and it just keeps kneeling you till you start to believe it. You cannot believe it. You have to refuse that. You have to say, no, I'm not going to allow that in my consciousness. I am not going to think those thoughts. And we are all now to that point where we should be able to see what our mind is doing to us and what our mind is doing to the world in general. You see? You know when you have a bad thought. You must know that. When I have a negative thought, I can feel it throughout my entire body. In fact, I can also taste it in my mouth. And I have to do something about it immediately. And refuse those thoughts to come in to your thinking, to your consciousness. When we're able to do that, and we get enough people, the weight of that will come over. You know, it's like super saturating something. So we have to change our mind about all the things that we take for granted. And the main thing to change our mind about at the present moment is this concept of war. That we've always, human beings, are warlike animals and so forth. We are not warlike animals. We are made in the image and likeness of this thing called God, which is total peace. Total peace. And we must remain in total peace. And when that peace, that consciousness of ours, is at peace, the world's at peace. You see, you cannot have war if everyone's doing peace, you see. But we have invested in an institution, and we have invested in a lifestyle where we have incorporated this idea of war into everything. So no one gives it a thought if war breaks out. So, oh, well, I'd fight that guy. That's okay. That's what happens. Humans are that way. The world's always been that. We've got to change our thinking about those things, or it will just keep repeating itself. And we don't want that to happen. We have set this world up. We are the ones who make all this up, you know. We make up the economy, you see. It's a man-made thing. War's man-made. It has nothing to do with this thing that we call God. It has nothing to do with the universe. God is never, never, never against itself. There is nothing in the universe that is not working in harmony with every other part. It's always, your body itself is always working in harmony with everything that's inside of you. It's always bringing you back to what we call homeostasis. It's always bringing you back. If your body does that, your body is part of the whole microcosm. So you have to think of those things. I'm reading a book right now by a scientist who lives in Jerusalem. And the title of the book is The Hidden Face of God. And he's going through the whole thing with everything that's physical, behind it has to be metaphysics. Metaphysics runs through everything. We cannot prove all the things unless we have metaphysics running all the different systems and all the things that are going on in the universe plus inside of us. Because we don't know how things, we don't know how most of the stuff operates, because the thing that's operating cannot be seen. Cannot be seen. And that thing that cannot be seen is metaphysics, people. You can call it God, you can call it anything. But it's metaphysics, and this thing called metaphysics is a difficult subject for some people. Why? Because it is not taught in schools, and it's not taught in any universities. It is not taught. You may find it in junior colleges as an extension course, but it's not condemned by the universities. So it's not taught. Physics is taught. Things that we can hold on to are taught. You see? Most people think that the only things that are valuable are the things that their senses can detect. You see? If you can see it, smell it, taste it, feel it, all that kind of stuff, then it's real. You'll never see the face of God. And you'll never see metaphysics at work. But it's always working. It's always behind the scene doing something. So we must refuse that other type of thinking that is out there. We must refuse it. And you've come here long enough and you know. And you must see that now. You must see that there's something going on throughout all of the sciences. All the sciences now are coming to the point where they realize that there's something behind all this stuff. Even Darwin came to the conclusion that there's something. He said, you can see this as a theory, and you can prove it as a theory, but there's more going on here than I can explain to you. There has to be a power behind all of this, you see. One of the things that Darwin could never prove in evolution, there's big jumps in evolution. That cannot be explained. But the main thing that cannot be explained is your eyes. Where do your eyes come from? You see, and how do they see? How do they don't know. No one knows how that's done. That's metaphysics, people. So refuse all that other stuff. And if you think it's hokey pokey or whatever, train yourself to see it. Train yourself at least. You know, we are always saying, "Oh, be grateful for this. Be grateful for that." And that's all well and good, but if you can't be grateful, at least be thankful. Be thankful that all this wonderful stuff is out there. And that we can communicate with it, we can do something, but we'll never see it, you see. And we'll maybe never actually be able to prove it. But we sense it. Don't you sense that there's something behind everything? There's something. You sense that. That's metaphysics, people. So refuse all that other stuff that is going on. You know, I'm leaving on Wednesday for the land of Nod. And I'll get through it because I only go to pick up information. Say, I'm on a fact-finding mission. That's all I do, is I collect facts when I'm there. Because those people think completely differently. They still believe in a God sitting on a throne in heaven someplace. They absolutely believe that. Now, you're not going to talk them out of that. And they absolutely believe in this thing called the devil. So they believe in heaven and hell, and they actually and absolutely think that their geographical locations. They're not people. They are not geographical locations. It's done with your consciousness, you see. By refusing what the world is telling you and learning to think differently, you can change your consciousness and you can make your reality what you want it to be instead of buying somebody else's reality. Now, in the land of Nod, they buy other people's reality. And they think that's their reality. And it is their reality because they're living in it. But they never know that they have a choice. They can choose themselves out of that. They can choose themselves out of that. They still live under this little saying, well, you made your bed, now you must lie in it. You must lie, you know. This teaching teaches you, you may remake your bed. You may remake it every minute of every day. That's what this teaching is all about. Many people want to know what the Course in Miracles is all about. Course in Miracles is about choosing and choosing again. You see, if you choose it and it doesn't work, you can choose. You have the freedom to choose again. In the land of Nod, they have no idea that you can choose again. You get one choice, and if you make the wrong choice, you have to live with that. So they live with that. Now, how do they live with that? By coming down with diseases, by drinking a lot of alcohol, by taking pills so that they can cope with this thing that they think is reality. And they see everybody else around them doing it, so they think that's absolutely normal. Absolutely normal. The drinking part is the funniest thing, because they believe that not only are you allowed to drink and it's all right to drink, but when you're absolutely drunk and crazy, that's okay, because that's just the way people do. That isn't the way people do. Refuse to believe that one. Absolutely refuse it. You know, I don't care if you drink and you're drunk. But then take responsibility for that and say, I was drunk. Those people never take responsibility. Somebody else did it to them, or they got, you know, somebody got me drunk. Now, what they do, pour it down your throat, you know. So we have to change. We have to refuse to believe those things. And we can do that. We have the capacity, this mind, they are proving how plastic the mind is. It can stretch this way, it can do all kinds of things. When I was young, we were taught, and we heard it all the time, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But you can teach all kinds of new things. But you have to be open to that, and you have to refuse to believe all that stuff that you heard. And those people don't mean to be that way. But they live in that reality. And they look at it and say, oh, that's the only reality there is. You know, there is tons and tons of realities. That's the whole idea when you read in the Bible, in my Father's house there are many mansions. In consciousness, there are many states of reality. And as you move up, you see that and you get to feel that, you see. But these people live in one mansion and they never leave it. From birth to death, they live in there. And they think, oh, why is all this happening to me? Why is this such a struggle? Why is God so mean to me? Why, oh my. This thing called God. Does not do any of that stuff that you think. God only holds you in the highest esteem. God only loves you and loves you and loves you. And pours that love down upon us all the time and upon this whole universe. So we must refuse anything that is not like that. So just make up your mind. It's an easy thing. Just refuse. You say, be like Angela, Maya Angelou. Refuse to allow people in your house that bring negativity in. Refuse to allow thoughts into your mind that are negative. Why do we want to entertain negative thoughts? Where is it going to get us? So when you have a negative thought, say, I refuse to have you dwell in the house of the Lord. I refuse to have you dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, in metaphysics, when we use the word Lord, what are we saying? The law of cause and effect. Anytime you read law or Lord in the Bible, it means the law of cause and effect. So we don't want those thoughts. We want to refuse thoughts that aren't going to get us anywhere. They're not going to help us in the least. But we're so used to entertaining those. And I watch that when I'm on my fact-finding mission to the land of Nod. I watch all these people. I mean, they just spout out one negative thought after the other. And they have no idea they're doing it. They have no idea they're doing it. And they call that life. They call that life. You see? It's not life. This thing called God wants you to be filled with joy. Wants you to be filled with happiness. And certainly wants you to have fun. These people don't know how to have fun. When I was a child, they would say, you've had enough fun for the day. You've used up your fun quota. You say, they're going to take that up. You can have fun all the time, you know. Then if you have too much fun, they say, aren't you ever serious? And I want to say, no, I am not. I would rather have fun. So, refuse those things in life, people. Make your life what you want it to be, filled with fun, filled with joy, filled with happiness. And when you fill yourself with all those things, you also fill yourself with abundance and prosperity, people. Abundance and prosperity very seldom come to people that are negative. And if it does come, it doesn't stay very long because it doesn't like where it is. It doesn't like where it is, so it doesn't stay. If you make your life fun and align yourself with the law of cause and effect, with the law of abundance and prosperity, it will stay. It will linger with you, you say. Well, when you're completely negative all the time, it's not going to do it. There's no place for it to live. So think of those things and refuse what the world is telling you. Refuse all those other things that are man-made. You say that are man-made. Now, what did Jesus say about all that? And when I use the word, when I use Jesus, I use him as a master teacher, not as anyone can become Christed, by the way. It takes time. I haven't achieved that yet, because remember, I still swear. But I'm learning.
Slowly.
But Jesus said, I am in this world. I am not of this world. Refuse to be of this world. Just refuse it. Say, no, I can live here, but I'm not going to be of this world. And of the world means all the nits and flees. It means all the arguments. It means all the wars. It means all the stuff that you see on the 11 o'clock news. You'll say, we don't want that in our consciousness, do we? We don't want that in our life. So we have to refuse. We have to say, well, I don't care how many people think that way. I'm going to refuse to think that way, and I'm going to start to think differently. I'm going to think differently. That's all your life is about, learning to think differently. Learning, as I said before, many times, not tonight, but many times, learning not to become a puppet of your conditioning. Not to become a puppet of your conditioning. How many people say, oh, I'm turning into my father, or I'm turning into my mother? In the land of Nod, they take that for granted. I'm becoming my mother. I'm becoming my father. And they are, with the same hateful attitudes. And they think that's honoring the father. That is not honoring the father. You must honor your consciousness. You must make a home in your consciousness for the right things to dwell there. You see? You want thoughts to dwell in your consciousness that you want. And so you have to refuse that outside world. You see? You can live in this world, but don't be of this. Just is as easy as refusing to allow it into your thinking. That's how easy it is. So, use that word. What does that word, when I say refuse, what does it mean? Stay away. I refuse to do that. I refuse to think that. You see? That's all that means. Refuse. And when you do that, now, you've made a home in your mind, in your consciousness, for the things you want, you see. For goodness to dwell in you. For God to dwell in you. You see? You have to make the place. You have to make the space. That is all it's about. So think of those things. What is your mind doing to you? What is thinking? What is going on in there? You see, if you have that thought, well, we've always had war, we'll always have war, not a good thought person, not good for you to think that. Yes, we've had all that, and it's horrible and it's horrendous, but we do not have to repeat it. We never have to repeat anything. This thing called God, by the way, never repeats. It doesn't make the same thing twice. You may think that it makes the same thing twice, but look out and about and see. You all know the idea of the snowflake. There has never been two snowflakes ever alike in all these thousands of years. Never two snowflakes alike. I have a rose garden, and I love my rose garden. And what's so nice about that, when the roses bloom, you look at them and you say, oh, isn't that wonderful, they all look alike. But as you get closer, everybody's different. Every blossom is different. Similar, but completely different. Completely different. And that's what we are. Remember? We're connected to this thing called God. Think of God as the plant. You're the bloom, and we're all blooming. But we're all blooming differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. You see, everyone wants the same. Oh, I have to do it the same way, the same way. Which, I'll go back one moment more, to the land of Nod. They would prefer that everyone was the same in the land of Nod. No, we're all different. Bloom the way you want to bloom. You're connected. We're all connected to the same source. Everything on this planet has come from the same source. Everything on this planet is made from the exact same materials. You know, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon. I think a trillium or something out there. But we're all made from the same thing. And we all call ourselves human. But there's never been two humans exactly alike. Even twins. Everyone wants, oh yeah, but look up. No. Even twins. Very similar, but different. Very similar, but different. Be the individual. And refuse to think that you have to be like anybody else. Refuse to believe that your life has to match somebody else's. You see, you can refuse all those things. Then you grow into the person that you are meant to be. You have that ability to do that. So absolutely be an individualized expression of this thing that we call God. You don't have to do it like everybody else. Even in this teaching metaphysics, of course, brand name churches want you all to be the same. You have to do it exactly this way, and you have to think exactly this way to get wherever you're going, to this thing called salvation. Well, that's not true in this teaching. This teaching teaches you how to think for yourself. And it teaches you what you're thinking is absolutely right for you. Your mind is a perfect representation of God. But it's individualized. Do you want to think like everybody else? I never wanted to think like everybody else. I enjoy thinking wonderful things. You see, different things. And I'm not afraid of my mind, you see. Because I refuse what the world is telling me. I just out and out flatly refuse it. So do that for yourself. Refuse to think the way the world is thinking. Easy. Use that word. Refuse. Refuse. You're not in a brand name church. You do not have to go through catechism and be like everybody else. You have to be like yourself. And the only good that's ever come into this world has come into this world by people that thought differently. By people who thought differently. If everyone's thinking the same, what could come into this world? Nothing. So use that wonderful mind of yours and refuse to allow things to come into your mind that you do not want to think. Just say, I'm not going to think that. I refuse to think that. Get out of here. My expression that I use is go back to the nothingness from whence you came. See, all the thoughts that you think come from nothingness. Remember the bumper sticker that I loved so much? You don't have to believe everything you think. You do not have to believe everything you think. Choose for yourself to believe what you want to believe. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.